So you can open up your Bibles to John chapter 11, and I'm going to start in about verse 17. And if you've noticed, if you've been following along, I haven't let go of the resurrection yet. Since Easter Sunday, I'm still preaching about the resurrection, and God just won't let it out of my heart. Listen, I meant what I said a while ago. I actually kind of struggled. I mean, I knew what I wanted to preach. I knew the passage. The Lord had laid it on my heart. But I had trouble, I think, focusing. Because all I could concentrate on was people are going to start coming back. That was like the only thing I could focus on. People are going to start coming back. The message really this morning is really kind of simple, if you want to know the truth. You could probably leave after the introduction, but please don't. Just humor me and hang around and let me expand on it a little bit. Everything that you are looking for in life, everything that is missing in your life, everything that is wrong in your life that you're looking for a fix for, it is found, but here's the key. It is not found in a philosophy. It's not found in a code of ethics. It's not found in a morality, a list of what you do and what you don't do. It's not even found in a belief system. It is found in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Everything about our lives spiritually that is lacking or that is empty or that leads us on some search, it's found in a person and in nothing else. And that person is Jesus Christ. So what we have in the passage here is that Lazarus has died. Now, in the Gospels, Jesus seems to be especially close to Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. He seems to go to their house a lot, probably gets to relax there a little bit. So he seems especially close to them. In fact, this was the famous passage of Jesus wept. It's not in what we're looking at today, but it's in this context of Lazarus' death. Anyhow, they had sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was dying. Jesus delayed intentionally so that Lazarus would die. And so I'm going to pick it up in verse 17. It says that when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem. It was about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you." And Jesus said to her, "Well, your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." I see a couple of things in this passage right here, and then I'm going to use some other verses to expand upon what I want to say. You know, Martha came, Lazarus was dead. Now, we know the rest of the story, and I'm not going to get into it. Jesus actually does call him out of the grave, but I'm just going to focus on this part right here. Is, you know, she had a belief system. She understood that one day there was going to be a resurrection. She understood that one day God was going to raise everyone from the dead. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother's going to rise again." And she said, "Well, I know that. I know that at the resurrection, he's going to rise again." And Jesus, he says to her, "I am the resurrection." He says, the resurrection is not an event that you're going to look forward to. It's not an event that's going to take place somewhere in the future. He's saying to her, "Listen, the resurrection is me. It's a person. The resurrection." Look, I think he's talking about eternal life. Obviously, he's talking about eternal life. He says, anyone who believes in me will never die. anyone who lives in, let me get it right. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. He said, anyone who lives and believes in me, though he die, yet he's going to live. He says, because I am the resurrection. Listen, Jesus is salvation. You understand that? Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. Eternal life isn't something that happens after we die. Actually, eternal life starts right now. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying, and I believe it's in about verse 13. He's praying to God. It's his prayer in the garden. He's saying, Lord, glorify your son. And to those who have followed him, he says, give them eternal life. And in verse 3, he says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you've sent. He says eternal life is a relationship with you. Eternal life is a person. You see, eternal life really starts right now, if you want to know the truth. Eternal life starts here, and it starts in the person of Jesus Christ. As we begin to follow him, as we begin to have him in our life, eternal life isn't something that's going to happen in the future after we die, although that's going to be a part of it. Eternal life starts right now. It starts now. He says, this is eternal life in John 17:3, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who you sent, that they have a relationship with you. The resurrection, Jesus said. He said, look, I am the resurrection. I'm it. I'm the resurrection. It's not an event that's going to take place sometime in the future. If you want to participate in the event, you better have me right now, because I am the resurrection. So he who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And then he said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Listen, and this is again what he's saying here. He's saying, look, eternal life, the resurrection, it starts right now. If you live and believe in me, you're never going to die. Of course, we know that the Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die. And after that, judgment. We know that in this body, in this physical life, we're going to pass through that door of death. But Jesus says, look, you're going to be alive. You're going to be alive if you live and you believe in me. You will never die. He asked her if she believes this. Listen, he says, I am. In John 14:6, famous passage, we all know it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, look, I am this life that you're looking for. He who believes in me will never die. This life that you're looking for, this life that you long for, it starts right now. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. It's not an event. It's a person. I want to look at a few passages in the scripture that expand upon this idea of Jesus saying that he is, expanding on this idea of everything that you're looking for in your spiritual life, everything that your heart and your soul and your spirit longs for. It is found, listen, only in a person. You got to think all the way back. You got to remember all the way back to Vacation Bible School years ago when you just got good old Bible stories. And Moses was standing at the burning bush. And God is calling him, saying, I need you to go back to Egypt. And you need to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And you need to tell them to follow you out. And Moses is making every excuse. So don't feel bad when you make excuses to God, because Moses did too. He's making every excuse for why he can't go. And one of the excuses he said, well, what if they ask me what your name is? So what if they ask me what your name is? What do I tell them? And this is in Exodus 3, I think it's in verse 14. And God spoke to Moses there and he said, I am who I am. You tell them that I am has sent you. He says, that's my name. When they ask you what's my name, you tell them I am. Now, I know it seems like it's really a difficult word to understand, but we're just going to leave it with the way the Bible translates it. He says, I am. You tell them, I am sent you. Well, in John chapter 8, and it's in verse 58, and I'm not going to go into the whole conversation, but in John chapter 8, he's having this conversation with the Pharisees, and they start talking about Abraham. Because they're the children of Abraham. That's what they call themselves, the children of Abraham. And God's talking to them about Abraham, and he's talking about, he says, look, if you knew who, if you really knew Abraham, you would know me, you would know who I am. And he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. In verse 57, they said to him, well, you're not even 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, he said, most surely I say to you, listen, he says, before Abraham was, I am. And he used that name for God. I am. Did I tell him I am sent you? He said, before Abraham even existed, I am. Are you searching for God? Would you like to find God? People will often say, I'm searching for God. I need to find God. You searching for God? Listen, you will find God in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, I am. You're searching for eternal life? You're going to find it in the person of Jesus Christ. Because he is the resurrection. He is God. Everything about your spiritual life that is lacking, that is longing, that is unfulfilled, is going to be found not in a philosophy, not in a code of ethics, not in a belief system. It is going to be found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You want to find God? It's a person. Philip once said to Jesus, Lord, just show us the Father, and that'll be good enough. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long and yet you still don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Are you looking for God? It's in a person. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, now this is hard. Look, again, I'm just going to pick out one verse here. In John chapter 6 it's a difficult passage to explain, a difficult passage to understand and interpret. In fact, if you buy a book called The Hard Sayings of Jesus, it's going to have John chapter 6 in there, I can promise you that. But I just want to look at one verse. I want to look at verse 5, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Again, I am. I am the bread of life. And I lost my place. I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He says, I am the bread of life. Now, in that whole passage, they're talking about the manna. They're talking about how God miraculously fed the people, how he sustained the people. And Jesus said, look, that's me. He says, I am. When you think of bread, it is, you're thinking of just your most basic sustenance for life, your most basic need in this life, bread and water. He says, that's me. He says, I am the bread of life. You come to me, you're not going to get hungry. You come to me, you're not going to get thirsty. He's talking about your soul. He's talking about your spirit. He's talking about your spiritual life. He says, I am the bread of life. That fulfillment, you know, I'm not talking about achieving goals. We all achieve goals. We all achieve a certain amount of successes. We all accomplish or at least pursue a certain amount of things that we want to. The problem is, when we get there, there's still something that's just not right. There's still something that's just missing oftentimes inside of us. And it's the bread of life. The very basic thing that we need for our sustenance, the very basic thing that we need to get us through life and to equip us for life is him. He says, I am the bread of life. You know, we talk a lot about the word, and the word is equated a lot in the Bible. It equates itself a lot to being nourishment that we need to take in. In fact, John chapter 1, and from the very beginning, it calls Jesus the word, that he is the living word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were created by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. And a little bit later on in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we understand that the word is actually Jesus. He's actually the living word. And we talk about the word so often and refer to it as the Bible. But really, what we really need is Jesus. And when we remember a couple of weeks ago, it was at least 2 weeks ago, it was the Sunday after Easter. I hope you tuned in. We looked at the passage of when Jesus on the day after the resurrection, he was walking, or it was that he was walking with those two guys who had been followers of his on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize him, and he explained all the scriptures to them concerning him, and then later that evening, when they finally recognized him and realized who he was, and they were recounting it and talking about it later, you remember they said, well, didn't our hearts burn within us when we were walking on the road and he was explaining the scriptures to us? He said, our hearts were burning, our hearts were on fire. And we talked then, and at that time, I talked to you about how it's not just about reading the Bible as a spiritual discipline. That's really not what it's about. And too often, that's really what we just read the Bible as some sort of a discipline, and we're going to make ourselves read it because we're going to read the words. But the key is that Jesus is the living word. And we talked about it as they walked on the road to Emmaus with their hearts burning. The key is that we are taking in the scriptures in the context of that relationship with God. Y'all, that's the key. It's not just about sitting down. It's not just about sitting down and reading the words. It isn't about knowing Christ better and more intimately through his word, and knowing God better and deeper through his word, because it's not really about the book, it's about the person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. The word became flesh. I know I'm telling you what I just told you, but that's in John chapter 1. That's what we need to understand. Jesus is the word, and when we search in the word, we're searching for Christ. We're searching for that relationship. We're searching to be close to him, because he is what we need in everything. In chapter 8, verse 12 of John, again, he says that he is the light of the world. He said, I am. Again, I am. I am the light of the world. And who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He said, look, I am the light of the world. And when you think of light, you think of it illuminating the way so you can know the way to go. You know, you also think of light. You know, you hear people being afraid of the dark, but you don't hear many people being afraid of the light. Am I right? Am I right? Okay. There's also a safety and a security in the light. And so he says, I am the light of the world. I'm the one who's going to bring you that security. I'm talking spiritually now. I'm talking about you can feel a sense of safety and security in your spiritual life and in your standing with God when you have the light, which is Jesus. Again, I keep going back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything was made. And listen, and in him was life, and life was the light of men. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the one, the only one. You know, listen, you don't have to live your life spiritually wondering if you're going to make it or not. You don't have to live your life spiritually with your soul questioning you at every turn and at every bad thing that happens or everything, every time you step off the path. You don't have to live. There is security when the light of Christ is living in our spirit and shining in our soul. There really is. He says, I am the light of the world. I am there for your safety and security. And it also shows us the way. Again, back to John 14:6. I am, Jesus said, I am what? The way. I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. He said, I am the way. Look, he is the way. He's not just showing us the way. He's not just making a way. Jesus is the way. Jesus didn't come, teach a bunch of great stuff, and then die and say, okay, now you have got to figure it out. And you have got to get some revelation and start living by these things that I've taught you in order for you to find heaven. No. He said, I am the way to heaven. I am the resurrection and the life. I am God. I am the bread of life. I am what you need. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. Finally, in chapter 10, There's the whole Good Shepherd passage. And Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 14. And I kind of covered that one up with my little notes there. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Excuse me just a minute. Well, here we go, right here. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. And I was just, you know, I was just thinking about Psalm 23, about the Good Shepherd. And listen, Jesus, and when Jesus says he's the Good Shepherd, he's saying to us, he is the one that will meet every spiritual need that we have in our lives. I'm telling you, it's in him. Whatever that emptiness is, whatever that unfulfillment is, whatever that longing is, whatever that searching is, I'm telling you there is one place to find the answer, and that place is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. I draw a picture in my mind whenever I just have this picture of this valley in the mountains somewhere, and I'm sure it wasn't like that in the Middle East at that day. That's the picture I draw in my mind, all right? There's this valley in the mountains, and it's kind of a cool spring day. There's some wildflowers growing, and there is a great big kind of a lake kind of thing there, and the sheep are just kind of hanging out, laying around. The breeze is blowing. You know, I just get a sense of peace when the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside the still waters. The good shepherd, and only the good shepherd, is the one who can give us that peace that we need. He restores my soul. You know, the good, and look, I've never been a shepherd, all right? I've never even worked with sheep. Sheep are stupid from what I understand. But you know, Jesus calls us sheep, right? So anyhow, figure that one out. But anyhow, just through my studies and through my reading and that sort of thing, I think I've learned a few things. But, you know, he says he restores my soul. Only Jesus is the one that can restore us and restore our heart and restore our spirit and restore our soul. I used to let my dogs in the house. I don't let them in the house anymore. The ones I have now have never been in the house. But years ago, I used to let dogs in the house. Until Hurricane Ike came along, we pulled up the carpet, and I saw it was under the carpet, and I said, no more dogs in the house. All right, so, but there was one thing that would happen every evening, no matter where I was. If I was somewhere on the computer, if I was somewhere watching the TV, every evening, one at a time, at different times, my dogs would come, and they would just come to wherever I was, and they just wanted to get their ears scratched. You know, they just wanted to get their ears scratched. They wanted to get their chest scratched. They just wanted, and you know, it's the picture of the shepherd doing this to the sheep, that every day, the shepherd would spend some time with each one of the little sheep individually. He did. He maybe scratch on, maybe rub their little ears. I don't know if sheep like to get their ears rubbed or what, but every day, it's restoring my soul, that God just wants to love us, and he just wants to love us, love on us, and that is the good shepherd. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd carried that big staff, and he carried a rod, which was a stick. The stick was a weapon that he fought off. I mean, the shepherds back then had to literally fight off the lions and the tigers and the wolves and the coyotes. I mean, he literally had to take his stick and go to battle for the sheep. And so the sheep said, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have any fear. Because your rod is there to comfort me. Your staff, you know, just like you think of it, with big long stick with a crook on the end. Sometimes sheep, boop, boop, tumble down into a ravine, can't climb out. Shepherd just take that staff, stick it down there, hook them up under their front legs and just pull them back up to safety. The sheep said, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about falling off the trail. I don't have to worry about the enemy coming in and mauling me, because your rod and your staff, you are the good shepherd, and you are the one that's taking care of me. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Later on, you anoint my head with oil. The shepherd every day would go through the sheep in the evening, and you know, the sheep just kind of grazing around. They might bump into a cactus, you know, get some, what do you call them? Thorns. Not like that's a hard word, right? Get thorns stuck in the side of their face, you know, bang, turn their head around real too quick and hit a rock, boom, And he says he anoints, he's putting medicine on them, putting salve on them so that they can heal. Listen, you're going to get injured in life. You're going to get wounded in life, walking through life. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I'm the one who's going to put the salve on those wounds and help you heal them. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look, listen. Jesus is I am. Jesus is God. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, and I'm sorry, I didn't look this up, so I don't know the exact verse, but you can use your Bible app. This is exactly what it says. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes that God has placed eternity into the heart of every man. Everybody has this spiritual longing inside of them. The old philosopher Augustine said it like this, and it's kind of popular. You've probably heard it. But he's an ancient guy. He says that everybody has a God-shaped hole in their heart. And that's what he was saying. God has placed eternity in the heart of every man. There is a spiritual hunger. There is a spiritual longing. There is a spiritual part of every person that's ever lived that knows that they were created to live forever. And the only time you will find the fulfillment, the only time that you will find that that part of your life is going to find its satisfaction and find its grounding is when it finds it in the person of Jesus Christ. You come to the church looking for it. Amen. That's the place you ought to look. But I want you to know it's not the church that's going to provide that for you. It is the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to point you to him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Stand up with me, if you would. We're going to sing Just As I Am. All right. If you need to come or desire to come forward for any reason this morning, you can go ahead and come while we sing a couple verses here of Just As I Am. Maybe you want to come and kneel and pray. Maybe you'd like me to pray with you about something. I'd be happy to do that. If you need to come this morning, you come while we sing.